Thank you very much, Dr. Mahathir. I believe, including from the floor, there are a lot of questions regarding what's happening in Malaysia. But probably the first, maybe I pick up a few questions from the current address. So you said that there will be some trade framework in Asia or in the region, some kind of, you said, a free trade kind of the organization. But also you refer to the TPP, and also you mentioned the Malaysia government will review this kind of framework. So can we understand, so if you say that some kind of the trade framework, it doesn't refer to the TPP, or if you review, is there any possibility that Malaysia want to ratify TPP and prefer to the other kind of framework, including RCEP or your former trade framework, like EAEC, ASEAN plus South Korea, China, and the Japan, but without USA. So what kind of the image of you and your new framework?
We are not completely against TPP, but we need to renegotiate it so that despite open borders and free trade, the smaller countries would have a chance to compete because they are given certain handicaps. As far as EAEC is concerned, yes, I'm still in favor of EAEC. In the past, of course, we were not able to do this because of objections from America. But now America seems to become isolationist again. So it is not in a position to demand that we do not form EAEC. So we should consider the formation of EAEC seriously, not only with the countries of the Far East, but also countries like India, and maybe some of the Central Asian countries.
So this is more like more expansion version of the RCEP you mentioned?
Well, it should include more countries.
More countries.
Because we can't exclude them from an organization which would have a very serious impact on their economies.
But how about the United States? So you still prefer some kind of framework without the United States?
Well, if the United States willing to accept majority opinion, that's fine. But the United States in the past seems to want to impose its will on all international organizations. Either we follow what they ask or else we have to pay a high price. That is not the way that nations should agree upon or negotiate. All people should have equal voice, equal influence over any international organization.
But also we think when you talked about EAEC last time, and now the biggest difference is China's the expansion of the influence to the world economy and the world politics. And also you differ the some kind of the some reviewing the relationship with China, mainly both on mainly the economic field. But could you a bit clarify your current view, how to handle the China, from Malaysia or from ASEAN?
Well, China has been there for more than 4,000 years. Malaysia has had relation with China for 2,000 years. We have never been colonized by them. We, instead, we have been trading with them all these years. I think that we have to accept there is a China there and that it is a powerful nation. But when we have a grouping of nations like EAEC, the smaller countries, the weaker countries, which should have a better say in the organization. And of course, even China would not want to reject the views of the majority.
But do you think it will take a long time, or now people are more serious about discussing this kind of a new framework?
Currently there is a great fear of China. I believe that Chinese military power is, of course, very great. But nothing can be obtained through war.
Mm-hmm.
We have seen wars being fought before. The destruction is terrible.
Mm-hmm.
And in the end, both the losers and the winners would suffer.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So I think war is not a solution.
Mm-hmm.
That is why our present policy is to see less warships in South China Sea and in the Straits of Malacca.
Mm-hmm.
The less the number of warships in the area, the less is the tension between the nations involved. So we want to have surround these seas, these two seas, as these tensionless, without warships patrolling all over the country, all over the place.
So can we understand in the area of the security, the still the quite that maybe the ASEAN should have a strong stance, especially the South China Sea, other countries. But in the area of the trade or economic cooperation, the still the China will be the, like a strong partner to the ASEAN or the Malaysia.
Yeah, well, China is a big country. It has a huge market, 1.4 billion people. Obviously, it is very attractive to all the countries of Southeast Asia. In fact, historically, we have always been trading with China. Now China is, of course, much more powerful, much richer than it was before, which means that it is a much bigger market. So we want access to this market. So we have to deal with China whether we like it or not. It is there. So the best way is to try and negotiate as a group rather than as individuals. As individuals, we cannot hope to convince China of anything. But if the whole of Southeast Asia through the EAC were to negotiate with China on the need for peaceful trade, I think China would accede to that.
How about the China's investment in the Malaysia? But we already know that you mentioned that you have to review the, some of the project, but probably not everything. So is there any criteria when you choose this is a good project or this is a bad project? For example, now a lot of Chinese real estate company invested heavily, like Iskandar, some real estate project. Actually, this is a private investment. So what kind of the investment do you want to have from China or other countries?
Well, Malaysia has always believed in foreign direct investment in order to grow its economy. But we have a different proper definition of what is foreign direct investment. Foreign direct investment involves bringing in capital and technology, setting up plants in Malaysia, employing Malaysians and training Malaysians to produce goods for the domestic market and for export. That is what we mean by foreign direct investment. But what happens now is that foreign countries buy huge pieces of land in Malaysia, develop new towns, which would be occupied by foreigners.
Yep.
That is not something that we welcome. Most countries would not allow foreigners to come and live in their country in large numbers. They will accept a few people every year to become citizens even.
Right.
But most countries, as we see in Europe today, they, and America, of course, do not want to have a huge number of foreigners coming to live in their country. So we regard the purchase of land to develop new towns for to be occupied by foreigners not as FDI. FDI is, as I defined just now, bringing in capital, technology, etc.
So in this meaning, the still also you recently refer like the new idea of the some extension of the look east, the policy. So but the first look east is more like some the focusing on the South Korea or like China, the Japan or Taiwan. So those countries that get the FDA, but also it's related with some technological the transfer, other kind of things. So that means now you set the some focus again. The FDI from those like old partners, including Japan?
Well, when we formulated the Look East policy, Malaysia was very backward, very poor, and it has no technology, no skills mm-hmm. in business, no capital. Mm-hmm. When we see the growth in Southeast, in East Asia, we decided that we have a lot to learn mm-hmm. from the countries of East Asia, right. that is to say Japan, Korea, and China. And what we want mm-hmm. is, of course, foreign direct investment, mm-hmm. and we want to learn how you grow your country. Mm-hmm. And among the things that we are interested in is the culture. Mm-hmm. It is the culture, the value system mm-hmm. of the people mm-hmm. which determine mm-hmm. whether a country will develop or not. We want to learn, for example, the Japanese culture, mm-hmm. which plays so much emphasis mm-hmm. on quality mm-hmm. that if a Japanese produces something of poor quality, he feels ashamed mm-hmm. of that. Or if he feels so, carry out some work, mm-hmm. He feels mm-hmm. ashamed. And because of the desire not to feel ashamed, they perform, they do very good mm-hmm. work mm-hmm. with high quality. Mm-hmm. We want to learn mm-hmm. this culture of the Japanese mm-hmm. so that our people too would feel the same. Mm-hmm. They adopt Japanese culture mm-hmm. of hard work, diligence, strong feeling of shame. If adopted mm-hmm. by Malaysians, mm-hmm. we believe we can do as well as Japan. Mm-hmm. And of course, we can do as well as South Korea and even China.
Mm. But how about, it's also related, like, so what kind of country the Malaysia that want to become? Because there are many people remember when you were the foreign prime minister, so the Vision 2020 is Malaysia want to become the fully industrialized nation by 2020, but it's looked like at the time the most of the focus is like a manufacturing industry and also the big project, like including the multimedia super corridor or like a Putrajaya Jaya. So this is more like heavy the investment oriented, and also the focus is automobile, electronics, those kind of industry. But if you like think about still using FDI and technology and to want to build a new Malaysia, what kind of industry of the area will be the next growth engine?
Well, still industry. But now industry based on IT, mm-hmm. on the electronics, because these have immense capacity. Mm-hmm. The quickness mm-hmm. and the scale of knowledge that is mm-hmm. now available through the internet, mm-hmm. for example, mm-hmm. Brings about opportunities mm-hmm. for new businesses. Mm-hmm. And we see some of these businesses, like delivery of goods, mm-hmm. communication, etc., mm-hmm. has become so big that the people who master this technology mm-hmm. are able to become extremely mm-hmm. rich, mm-hmm. like Bill Gates, by this Bezos, Josh Bezos.
Yeah, or Jack Ma. Yeah.
Yeah. They understand mm-hmm. that with the speed of knowledge, information, and also the ability to communicate mm-hmm. quickly, this poses a lot of ideas, mm-hmm. gives a lot of ideas about new business. Mm-hmm. And it is the new business mm-hmm. which is helping to grow mm-hmm. the industry. Mm-hmm. We want to acquire some of these skills to understand how to design programs mm-hmm. and to make use of data mm. in order to improve their capacity to sell products from Malaysia. Mm.
But in that part, what kind of role the foreign companies can play? For example, in the area of the manufacturing, they have been a lot of investments, so including like a Proton. Now the China's Geely has some stake with the Proton. But also those IT area, do you want expect more foreign companies' participation? Like including like maybe the some review of the state-owned enterprise, or do you want to have the Malaysia regional company to grow?
Well, we may have to depend upon foreign technology, foreign partners at the beginning. Mm. But eventually, we hope to be able to do everything by ourselves. Mm. In the automotive field, after we started work with Mitsubishi here, today, Malaysians have the capacity to do almost 100% of the development of a new motor vehicle. Yep. That is the benefit that we obtain mm-hmm. by having foreign partners. Mm-hmm. In the field of IT, for example, we may still need foreign partners, mm-hmm. but eventually we hope our people mm-hmm. can master mm-hmm. the technology. Mm-hmm. And when they do this, of course, the country will grow because all the wealth developed by Malaysians in Malaysia, and this will benefit the growth of Malaysia.
Are you happy with the Jajiri's investment in Proton? Is this still the other kind with the rebuilding project, or that the Jajiri still be able to stay as the shareholder of the Proton?
Well, I was one who started this so-called national car. Mm. Well, the national car must be owned by Malaysians. Yep. Mm. At the very beginning, we had a small investment from Japan, yep. mm. Mitsubishi Motors Corporation and Mitsubishi Corporation. But now, eventually, we were able to manage on our own. But now, the company has been sold to the Chinese company. It is no longer mm-hmm. a national car. Yep. Mm. Our ambition is to start another national car, perhaps with some help from our partners in Southeast Asia.
Oh, so that this is a different version of the car, probably somebody from Thailand or like the other countries.
Yes, from Thailand or the other countries, but also from Japan, China, Korea. Mm. Because obviously you have that capacity to produce good quality mm-hmm. cars mm-hmm. which are saleable throughout the world market. Mm-hmm. We want to access mm-hmm. the world market.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Also, yeah, probably I think that we should take some question from floor. But also the one thing is, because the tomorrow, the world eye is on the Singapore about this coming, the Trump and the Kim Jong-un, the summit. And probably it looks like now international community started to think about maybe the North Korea. So this time, surely try to more like a committed or engaging to the international the society. But how about from the Malaysian point of view? Because the Malaysia is the location the Kim Jong-nam was attacked, and the North Korea embassy in the Kuala Lumpur is still on the hold position. So from you, you believe the North Korea is really the changing the mind, or how do you see the impact of this coming summit?
Well, I must say that killing people is sometimes practiced mm-hmm. by other countries also, not just North Korea. Mm-hmm. We know recently mm-hmm. one Arab was killed in Malaysia mm-hmm. by foreign people. Mm-hmm. So these things are bound to happen. Mm-hmm. But to condemn a country because this happened mm-hmm. would mean that we'll be unfriendly with most countries mm-hmm. in the world. Yes, there was this mm-hmm. thing, this killing of Kim Jong the so-called brother mm-hmm. of the present president of North Korea. Mm-hmm. But we are more interested in the new mm-hmm. attitude of North Korea. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. We used to think of North Korea as a very belligerent country. Mm-hmm. that doesn't care for the rest of the world. Mm-hmm. They want to use nuclear weapons, etc. Mm-hmm. But today he is making effort mm-hmm. to establish better relation with right. even the United mm-hmm. States. We should not be cynical about mm-hmm. that. Mm-hmm. We should try and make full use mm-hmm. of this new attitude by North Korea. Mm-hmm. And we will then be able to reduce tension in Southeast Asia mm-hmm. and in the South China Sea. Mm.
Okay. Yes. Okay, so probably this is a time to take some question from the floor. But before that, we already got some question from the floor previously, and some of them is about, like, this is some result of course, the last election. And the people want to know, you mentioned several times, but do you think that why so you could win? I mean, so is this really unexpected, or at what moment you were a bit confident? And why did people in Malaysia, from young to old, so enthusiastically support you?
Well, I think when a party rules a country mm-hmm. for 60 years, people get tired, they get bored with the country. And besides that, of course, the previous government of Malaysia was not following the objectives of the party which was set up to gain independence for Malaysia. They have disregarded the principal struggle of the party. Instead, we seem to see a total change that it is more important to become rich and powerful than to work for the people. And because of this change in policy, it is no longer the same old party. It is a new party, actually, with a new objective. And people find that this new government is very oppressive and also is indulging in huge projects and borrowing so much money that it could bankrupt the country. Not many people understand this. The urban people understand, but the rural people do not understand. But what they do understand is that as a result of wrong policies, the cost of living has shot up very high, and these people are actually living at a lower standard than before. So the feeling in the urban area and the rural area are different, but nevertheless, both areas are against the previous government. So they wanted really a change of the government, and because of that, they gave tremendous support. In fact, we believe we could have won with a 90% majority, but because of a lot of hanky-panky done on the part of the government, we actually managed to have just a good majority, which cannot be denied. So that is why the change of government was able to be brought about by the will of the people.
Yeah, that's true. Yes, thank you very much.じゃあ、 ご質問がある方、じゃあ、 一番最初に手を挙げになったその前の男性お願いいたします。
係の者がマイクを持ってまいりますので、手を挙げたままでお待ちください。
前から3番目の男性ですね、はい、その方でお願いいたします。
ありがとうございます。 Thank you very much, Tun. My name is Masahiko Horie, former Japanese ambassador to Malaysia, and congratulations, Tun, for your comebackto premiership, as well as to this Nikkei conference for the future of Asia. I'm working at Meiji University, which conferred you honoris causa, honorary degree before, and the president of Meiji University is waiting for you, your return, one of these days. My question is, you have been tackling with the trade and business problems.I'd like to ask you one point about the peace and security in the region. Mm-hmm. We worry about the projection of power by China in the South China Sea. Mm-hmm. And you mentioned that the lesser number of fleets in this area. Mm-hmm. Yes, but the border and territorial problems are there, which hinders very much upon the Asia to be united. Mm-hmm. And they take the bilateral way ofdealing this problem, always discussing with Vietnam or the Philippines separately, and not discussing with ASEAN 10. You said small countries has to be united vis-a-vis big country. So while you are trying to reduce the economic dependence of Malaysia on China in economic domain, what kind of attitudes or what kind of strategy are you going to take vis-a-vis China in the field of peace and security in the South China Sea?
Yes.
One must never forget that before China became strong and powerful, the area in question, the Pacific area, the South China Sea, was dominated actually by the Americans. Mm-hmm. They have their seven fleets there. Now we have a China which is, which aspires to be a strong nation. Obviously, China's response to that is also to build up its military capacity and to extend its influence into Southeast Asia. But our sense is that neither the U.S. nor China should make Southeast Asia an area for contest between the two great powers. We want to have less number of warships in Southeast Asia, in the South China Sea, as well as in the Straits of Malacca. We have been looking after this area before. There was no problem. If we have less warships, less competition, there will be less tension. And the idea of discussing and solving problems through dialogue, through negotiation, would be much more fruitful. So our view is that we cannot forget that China is there. It was before the Middle Kingdom, the country, the most advanced country in the old days. Of course, China would like to repeat its past, but we have to deal with a China that is strong, not through confrontation, but through negotiation, through coming together as a group, Southeast Asian group and East Asian group, to come together to discuss with China. I don't think China would want to have a war. Anybody who thinks about war is crazy, because war only destroys, it doesn't build anything. So I think we should become an area nuclear-free and tension-free in this area, in the eastern part of Asia. That is our view. But of course, we are only one small nation. But as a grouping, Southeast Asia, together with Northeast Asia, would be able to deal with China in a more reasonable way, without confrontation.
Thank you very much. So next question, so the gentleman over here.
Dear Tun, I'm so pleased to be here this morning. You see, you are the oldest prime minister in the world today. And you have, in fact, created history. Now, I'm glad I'm able to see you in action after 22 years, again coming back. And the thing is, I want to ask you, what really inspired you to make a comeback? And considering that Malaysia is not an easy country to govern, especially with the all sorts of news that's coming out in the social media, you know, which can literally kill a person's future, etc., etc. I think you know that. You've said that. Now, my second question, Tun, is that, you see, in Malaysia today, for the past 25 years, we have been having rapid growth in telecommunications. In fact, when you talk about telecommunications, you talk about voice, video, and data. Now, the thing is, the government, your government today, is relentlessly working hard to reduce the price of data so that, like you said just now, you want the rural people to be connected as well. That's fine. That's great. I think it's a wonderful news. But what is absent in this is all the equipments that are needed to provide coverage, service, quality in service, etc., etc. We are dependent on foreign countries. So billions of ringgit is going outside our country to countries like Japan, to countries like Japan, to Korea, to the Europe, and to China. And we are losing a lot of money. So why can't, you know, Tun, like you just said, that you want foreign direct investment or whatever investment to get these people to come and manufacture in our country as well? I mean, ours is a small country, but at least to our capacity, you know, we can save a lot of money. Thank you, Tun.
Okay. Thank you very much. In the first place, I did not plan to become Prime Minister again when I stepped down in 2003. At that time, I thought I would have a good rest after having worked 22 years as Prime Minister of Malaysia. But after I stepped down, lots of people came to see me because they felt unhappy with the government. And they asked me to do something. I thought that I could do by advising the government, but this was rejected by both the six the f- fifth and the sixth prime ministers. In fact, with the last prime minister, not only was my advice rejected, but he adopted a policy that promotes corruption. The prime minister wants to promote corruption. And people were much against this. And they had nobody at that time who could lead the opposition and meld them together, bring them together. So they eventually came to see me and asked me to help them overcome or overthrow Najib. And that's how I became involved. Not because I wanted to become prime minister once again, but because I have no choice, I was pressured by the opposition actually to join them and help with the process of changing the government. Now, with regard to the telecommunication, I agree entirely with you that as far as possible, we need to become a manufacturer of equipments and development of data, usage of data. But for that, we need, again, foreigners to come in, as well as training our people in this area. We will be sending a lot of Malaysian engineers abroad who will learn about all about telecommunications and the usage, as well as the equipment that would be useful. But as you know, this is a fast-changing area. Today you have one telephone, the next day there is a better telephone, and the third day there is a third new telephone. We spend all our money buying telephones, these mobile telephones. We find that it's not easy even to catch up, much less to outstrip people like Apple or Samsung. So we need help at this moment. We will be willing to listen to the views of the industry on how Malaysia can benefit from these new industries that are coming up very fast. Thank you.
Thank you very much. So we have to the almost the end of the session. So maybe, for the last question, maybe I ask already submitted a question. One is about, so as you mentioned that you're not willing to become the prime minister, but people asked you. But so now you try to build a new government and a new politics. So from your point of view at this moment, do you think how long it will take before you hand over to the next person? And also at the same time, but you look the healthier and the healthier every year. So the one time we asked you, what is your health? The some secret of the being the healthier. But also maybe I want to ask again. Yeah, after, because you have been quite busy for us several months, but still looking very good. So what is the reason?
Well, I'm willing to serve, if that is the wish of the people, for as long as they want me. But of course, I don't know how long I myself will last. In 2 years' time, I'll be 95 years old. Already, I am the oldest prime minister in the world. So that will be a record if I reach 95 and still remain prime minister. But serving the country is all I care for, and if that is what people want me to do, I will accede to their wishes.
Okay. Okay. Yes. Thank you very much. So thank you very much, Dr. Mahathir. Very short one, if possible.
Okay, since firstly, I have to congratulate Lord Sadhuwe and Halim Abbas. I'm with the P7 proper. To congratulate on the election, even though
that your plane being sabotaged as such, but you still, manage your way through. Congratulations once again. And then secondly, I think what the people are looking at is in terms of the Vision 2020. So perhaps you can share what will be the mitigating measures that Tun will be undertaking just to ensure that we are on track again. Of course, as like the previous government is saying, they have the TN 2050, so wish that one may be to cater for for the future generation. I mean, for the gene Ys and Zs of the state. But I believe that, you know, with your good motivation and your aspiration to see the future generation as part of the new Malaysia order, then perhaps, you know, Tun should put up some mitigating measures, whether we can still achieve the 2020 or, you know, I mean, somewhere in between. But I don't think that it's 2050, that will be too late to me.
Okay.
You know? Yeah. Thank you very much.
So do you believe the 2020 is still achievable or you need a new target?
When I stepped down in 2003, I believed that we could achieve Vision 2020. Unfortunately, the succeeding prime ministers changed all the policies and the methods that we had used in order to grow the country. So from 2003 to 2018, we find that the policies were not compatible with achieving Vision 2020. Now we have only two more years to 2020. Even if we work extremely hard day and night, I don't think we can achieve it in 2020. Maybe slightly longer than that, maybe 2025 or even less, if we adopt the correct policies.
Okay. Thanks. Thank you very much. So at the end, so the praise, yeah, send a big applause to the Dr. Mahathir. Thank you very much. Thank you very much.